Amen.
I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. And thank you very much for praying for me. I was not too well this past week. The Lord has been very gracious, and I'm very, very thankful that today I'm able to come here to preach. I, in fact, lost my voice on Monday, but thank God I recovered my voice somewhat. I'm thankful that I'm able to bring God's word this morning. And all of us, let us remember the quick passage of time. We are finishing the seventh month of the year. We have only 5 months left. So what are we doing for the Lord for the year 2014? Very soon the year will be over. Now we have a few months left. Let us quicken our steps and let us do well for this year and look forward to the year 2015, and let us open our hearts unto the Lord, open our lives to Him, and say to Him, Lord, 2015, we want it to be a better year for you than it was the year 2014. Now, the topic this morning is the living dead, or the walking dead. In Singapore, the superstitious Singaporeans, particularly those who are of ethnic Chinese origin, are very, very fearful of the month, the seventh month of the lunar year. The seventh month is regarded as the month of the hungry ghost. Now, I do not know whether Chinese in other places are fearful of this month, but I know that many Singaporean Chinese are very, very fearful of the seventh month of the lunar calendar year. As I said, it is called the hungry ghost month. And this is the month in which ghosts are supposed to be released from hell. And they are very hungry and they need to be appeased. Now, so it's a bad month for weddings as far as the Chinese, the superstitious Singaporeans are concerned. And so no weddings on the during the seventh month. And there are many people who are fearful to go swimming because they are afraid to be drowned by hungry ghosts. And then during the month, you see that members of many organizations, employees of companies, members of societies will pull their money, and then they will worship the hungry ghost for fear that if they do not do that, they will be cursed by the hungry ghost. They will be cursed, and then they will be experiencing ill fortune and bad luck. But friends, did you know that the Word of God tells us that we are surrounded by the dead? Yes, we have dead people around us, but they are walking. I'm not referring to the ghosts of the dead, but I'm referring to men, women, and children like you and me. We are talking about the walking dead, the living dead, people who are physically alive, but who are dead in trespasses and sins, the walking dead. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 and 2 say, and you has he quickened. You, Paul was writing to the Christians at Ephesus, and you said to them, you have he quickened, you have you made alive, has he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins in time past. In time past, you were dead. Verse 2, wherein in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. When they were unbelievers, they were actually dead in trespasses and sins. Of course, physically they were alive, but they were dead in trespasses and sins. Today, we are surrounded by the dead also. People who are dead in trespasses and sins. People who are physically alive, but spiritually dead. In time past, my dear friends, we believers in the Lord Jesus Christ were really like them. We were part of the living dead, part of the walking dead. And we had this natural inclination to sin. Yes. We could not help it, but sin, because we had this sinful nature. We were like pigs, yes, that who would naturally behave like pigs because they are pigs. Now we had no choice but to sin, because we were sinners. We were born sinners. We had this nature sinful nature in us. And so the inclination to sin was always there. We live in sin and we were dead in sin. We were like the Ephesian Christians before they were converted, to whom Paul was writing. They had three guides for their lives, these unconverted Christians, before they were converted. Yes, they had three guides to their lives. And likewise, we have these three same guides. Now, what are the three guides? Number one, the world. Number two, the devil. And number three, the flesh, the sinful nature. So three guides, the world, the devil, and the flesh. Now, guide number one, the world. The word of God says, you walk according to the course of this world before you were converted. Verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, what is the world? You were walking according to the course of this world. But what is the world? Now, in this instance, the world does not refer to objects. It does not refer to pleasures, but rather it refers to people. Because if you turn to John chapter 15, verse 18, if you would very, very quickly turn to John 15, 18, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. John 15, 18. Excuse me. John 15, 18. John 15, 18. Yes. The Lord Jesus Christ said this, if the world hate you, the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, the pleasures cannot hate, objects cannot hate, but who can hate? Of course, only people can hate. So the world here refers to people. Now, the unbelieving Ephesians before they were converted, yes, they were walking according to the course of this world. Now, what is meant by the course of this world? Now, the course here refers to the drift, the tendency, and the drift, the tendency, the opinions, and the mentality of people in the world. And this course is anti-God. It is rebellious against God. It is an enemy of God. This cause is an enemy of God. James chapter 4 verse 4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. If you are a friend of the world, you are an enemy of God, because the world is an enemy of God. Now, you were, before you were converted, you were governed by the drift, the opinion, the tendencies, and the mentality of the world. You were governed by what man thinks and not what God thinks. Now, who are people who are typically people who were governed by the thinking of man and not governed by the thinking of God? I say most politicians will fall into this category. They play to the gallery. What people want them to do, they will do. Even if they have to lie, even if they have to cheat, they will do what the people in the public would want them to do. Now, do politicians really govern? I dare say that many politicians really do not govern at all, because they themselves are governed by the opinions of the people. So in fact, they are just expressing the opinions of the people, that's all. They do not really govern. Yes, and they will do what is politically right. In other words, they will do anything that will keep them in power. That's what politicians will do. So morals are thrown out of the window. They operate according to the course of the world. They are subject to pressure. And what would they do? They will legislate laws that under this pressure. And so, for example, we see increasing numbers of Western countries legislating laws that legalize same-sex marriage. Senior pastor wrote about it this morning in our weekly. Yes, they legislate laws that legalize same-sex marriages. The laws of God are irrelevant. The laws of God are behind time as far as they are concerned. It is the cause of the world that matters. Now in Australia, the law here is definitely going the course of the world. For example, it goes overboard in respecting human rights. Yes, it has no regard for God's law. And you take, for example, the ruling in regards to the rights of teenage minors, teenagers who have not reached, I believe, the age of 18, right? They are regarded as minors. Now, parents here, let us, we better know that. Parents here do not automatically have the right to access the medical records of their children, of their teenage children, if they have arrived at an age at which they have the capacity to make decisions. So parents do not have the right. The children can say, I do not want my parents to access my medical records. And they have the right to do that. And what's the argument for that? The argument is that if parents were to have the right to access their medical records, then these teenage children will not want to see their doctors when they are sick. So the law says if that be the case, then we better not allow the parents to access their medical records. And then here, a court rules in favor of a 14-year-old boy who decided to divorce his mother. He said, I don't want my mother to be my mother. And so he divorced his mother. And the law ruled in favor of him. So you see here the biblical principle of children, obey your parents, honor your father and your mother. Yes, these principles are thrown out of the window. They say, the law here says, that these kind of principles, yes, is really out of date. So the law says. Now, what's the Bible standard for the penalty of murder? The Bible standard is capital punishment, the death sentence. But you know what's the world standard? The world standard is not death sentence. The world standard is life imprisonment. But what's meant by life imprisonment? Life imprisonment is not having the criminal stay in prison for the whole of his life. In many countries, that's not the case. Life imprisonment is limited to something like 23 years imprisonment. And if the prisoner exhibits good behavior in prison, he can be let out of jail after serving maybe 17, 18 years. Yes. So you see, they have no respect at all for the laws of God. Now, what's the Bible standard in regards to sex before marriage? The Bible standard is no sex before marriage. The Bible views sex before marriage as a sin. It is a sin of fornication. And today, what do they say? People in the world say, you can have sex so long as it is safe sex. So long as you don't contract a sexually transmitted disease, you may have premarital sex. So, my dear friends, people in the world have come to regard premarital sex as something that is acceptable so long as it is safe sex. But that is not the standard of the Bible. The standard of the Bible is very clear. No premarital sex. God sees premarital sex as the sin of fornication. And people of the world, unbelievers, are governed by the fashion of the world. So you see a few fashion design houses coming up with new designs for the season, and then the fashions are catwalks. And very soon, everybody catches on. They say, this is the fashion for us. And if people don't adopt this kind of fashion for themselves, the world says these people are out of date, behind time, out of fashion. My dear friends, the walking dead or the living dead can't help it but walk according to the course of this world, because essentially they have the sinful nature in them. They are sinners, so they walk according to the course of this world. Now, how do people in the world, unbelievers, look at us, believers? How do they look at us, Christians? They say we are very, very bigoted because we live by the book. And so they say we are very, very bigoted. They say these people are very, very narrow-minded. They are behind time. But we people in the world are different. We are liberated. But dear friends, are they really liberated? People in the world really are not liberated, because they are actually controlled by the course of this world. They are controlled by the drift, by the tendencies, by the opinions, and by the mentality of the world. So how could they be free? How could they be liberated? No, my dear friends, they are not. They are captivated by them, taken captives by them. But we Christians are different. We are dead to the world, and the world is dead to us. The Word of God says so. My dear friends, we are crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to us. We are dead to the world, but we are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are liberated from the control of the world. So how should Christians respond to the world? Now, in time past, we were walking according to the course of the world. But the Lord has saved us out of the course of the world, and He has redirected our steps. And we are no longer walking according to the course of the world. But we are walking, or we should be walking, in the opposite direction of the course of the world. God's Word says in Romans 12:2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, what does it mean to be not conformed to this world? What does it mean not to be conformed to this world? What it means is simply this. We say no to the world. That's what is meant by not being conformed to the world. How we live, how we walk, how we act must not be dictated by the drift, by the opinions, by the tendencies, by the mentality of the world. The world keeps lowering its moral standards. We see that all the time. We see that in the mass media. We see that on television. We see that in the newspapers. We see that on the net. The world keeps lowering its standards. My dear friends, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must not walk according to the course of the world, but we must be opposing the course of the world. Homosexuality, for example, is something that is become very acceptable by the world. But it is condemned by the Word of God. Well, what's God's standard in regards to homosexuality? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I'd like us to turn to this verse. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, these two verses. Look at God's standard in regards to homosexuality. Chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And who are the unrighteous? Now, my dear friends, these are not my words. These are words of the one true living God. And God says, "Be not deceived." Who are the unrighteous? The fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate. Effeminate are homosexuals, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, another kind of homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And the unrighteous would include homosexuals. Not so long ago, in Western society, homosexuality was not acceptable. Maybe this was something maybe like 10, 20 years ago. Homosexuality was not acceptable at all if it was not condemned. But today, the days of Sodom and Gomorrah are here. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah were two very, very wicked cities, notorious for what? Notorious for their homosexual activities. But today, homosexuality is very much accepted on TV, and then very often featured and very often glamorized also. Now, the world's opinion is that the homosexualism is only an alternate lifestyle. Therefore, it is acceptable. But what position should we take as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? My dear friends, are we to love all men? The answer is yes, we are to love all men. Are we to love homosexuals? The answer is yes, we are to love them. But friends, we must not accept their homosexuality. We must speak out against their homosexuality. We must see homosexuality as God sees it. We must oppose it. Now, homosexuality is only one example. I mentioned premarital sex, yes, also earlier on. Now, the world says, let's do what comes naturally. But very often what comes naturally is done to satisfy the sinful desires of the sinful nature. We have to see, my dear friends, premarital sex as God sees it. Yes, we have to see it as fornication. We have to see it as the sin of fornication. Sex, of course, is a wonderful gift from the one true living God. But sex must be used only within the confines of the marriage relationship and not outside the confines of the marriage relationship. Anything outside of that is unlawful. It is something that is condemned by the one true living God. Now let's be very, very clear. God condemns fornication and God also condemns fornicators. I'd like us to look at the same two verses we read earlier on. 1 Corinthians 6 verses 9 and 10. The same two verses. I read for you again. Now know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, you see, fornicators nor idolaters, etc., etc., shall inherit the kingdom of God. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So what should our position be, my dear friends, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? Young people, if you are old enough to understand God's commandments, you must necessarily obey God's commandments. If you know His commandments, you must obey His commandments and oppose what is wrong. If your friends, your classmates, your schoolmates, or your colleagues are engaged in premarital sex and they are indulging in premarital sex, that does not make premarital sex acceptable. And recognize, my dear friends, that the pressure to belong is very, very strong, of course. And it is actually the world exerting its pressure on you to cause you to conform to the world. But God's standard must be our standard. And what's God's standard? You know what God says? Be holy, because I'm holy. That's God's standard. He expects us to be holy. Who expects us to be holy? God expects us to be holy. He says, be ye holy because I'm holy. My dear friends, that's our standard. Then are we going to allow the fashion of the world to dictate how we dress? The world says it is only fashionable if it is as revealing as possible without uncovering all. That's the standard of the world, my dear friends. But you will say, now, yeah, we are all covering up very, very well. Of course, this is winter, you cover up yourself very well. But come summer, that's the challenge for all of us. All right, girls? Yes, young people, that's the challenge for you. Come summer, see what you will be dressing. Friends, we are not to walk according to the course of the world. See how God prescribes for us in regards how we should be dressing. I'd like us to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. Let me read for you. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, in others with good sense, good taste, good sense, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Make sure that our tastes are not expensive tastes. That's what it means. Verse 10, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now, what's the key to fashion that is acceptable to God? What's the key? The key is modesty, my dear friends, modesty. Not revealing clothes, but modesty is the basic principle for all of us to observe. Modest in cost, not expensive, modest in cost. Modest in adornment. Yes, don't over-dollar yourselves. And the best adornment in the sight of the one true living God is good works. That is what the best adornment for all of us. The best adornment is good works. If you are dressed up with good works, my dear friends, you will be most pleasing to the one true living God in the way you dress. Now, as believers, we are not to be conformed to the world, but we are to be transformed. Verse 2, And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:2. As believers, my dear friends, we are to be transformed. Changed by the renewing of our minds. My dear friends, our mind must have been renewed. The day we were born again, we should have a new mind. Yes? And if with that new mind, then we will have the ability to discern, to discern what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And what is the acceptable and perfect will of God? Of course, the acceptable and perfect will of God is not to walk according to the course of this world. That course is a very, very broad way. And the end of the broad way is hell. The broad end of the broad way is eternal punishment. If our minds are truly transformed, yes, if our minds are truly transformed, if our minds are truly renewed, we must be walking in the straight and narrow way. Not the straight way, but narrow. Straight means narrow. We must be walking along that narrow, narrow way prescribed by whom? Prescribed by me? Prescribed by the church? No. Prescribed by the Word. Prescribed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And few walk in this way. Our friends, this is the right road to walk along, because it is the road of joy, the road of peace. It is the heavenly road. Of course, it is not a bed of roses along this road. Many other thorns on the way. But friends, that's the right road to walk along, because that is the heavenly road. The end of which is, of course, heaven. The end of which is, of course, the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the road that we ought to be walking along, the straight and narrow road, the one prescribed by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, people in the world, the living dead, have this guide. They have the world as their guide. Now, what's the second guide? The second guide is the devil. That's the second guide of the living dead, people of the world. Verse 2, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Verse 2, I'm reading Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, the devil, Satan, is called the prince of the power of the air. He's powerful. He's the head of fallen angels. And he possibly is second in power only to the one true living God. Yes? And he is the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Children who are naturally disobedient. Born disobedient. My dear friends, all who are descendants of Adam are born disobedient. Yes? They are born naturally disobedient. And the devil is here said to be working in the hearts of the children of disobedience. Now, how do you account for the shooting down of that commercial plane that carried some 300 passengers? How do you account for that? My dear friends, surely that must be done by the children of disobedience, in whose heart the devil had worked. Now, how do you account for the mass murders committed in the name of religion? Surely, my dear friends, they are committed by children of the world, in whose hearts the devil had worked. And how do you account for schoolboys carrying automatic weapons to school to shoot down, to kill their classmates, the schoolmates, and their teachers? How do you account for that? My dear friends, surely these are children of disobedience, in whose hearts the devil had worked. And how do you account for the way people poison themselves with alcohol and with drugs? Surely the devil must be working in their hearts. And how do you account for sexual assault on women followed by rape? My dear friends, surely the devil must have been working in their hearts, causing to perform those acts of disobedience. Friends, the devil was a murderer from the very beginning. John 8:44 says, you are of your father the devil. Now, if you are a walking dead, yes, if you are walking according to the course of the world, you are of your father the devil. And the lusts of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He was a murderer from the beginning. He was the one who worked in Cain, the son of Adam, to commit the first murder on planet Earth. He killed his brother Abel. Yes, and the word of God tells us very, very clearly in 1 John 3:12, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Cain was of that wicked one. He was a son of the wicked one, of that wicked one, and he slew his brother. Now the word of God in Luke 22 verse 3 also tells us that Satan, the devil, had worked in the heart of Judas, so that Judas finally betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we say that we are not like those terrible sinners, we are not like those terrible murderers. But friends, we are murderers if we hate others. I didn't say that, but the word of God says that. The Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God says that. The word of God in 1 John 3:15 says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. You heard that? Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Now, we might not murder with guns, we might not murder with knives, but friends, we are very, very capable of murdering with words. We murder the character of people by slandering their character. Remember this, if we hate, we are just doing what our guide, the devil, wants us to do. If we hate. And then he's called the tempter, he's called the corrupter, he works with all deceivableness. Yes, the working of Satan is with all deceivableness of unrighteous is them that perish. He tempts, he corrupts, he deceives. He makes all that glitters look like gold. Now, we Christians are often misguided by this evil guide. Now, for example, the word of God says it very, very clearly. Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now, do we take heed to this command? Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. No, my dear friends. We follow the guide of the evil one instead. And so what do? We go into a business venture with an unbeliever. We say that the venture looks very, very promising. It's glittering. It's glittering like gold. Yes. But no sooner had you go into the venture than you discover that it is really a very, very costly mistake. Yes, you might lose all your savings. You might get into legal fights with your business partner. You might lose sleep. You might lose your health. And saddest of all, you might lose your fellowship with the one true living God. All because you are misguided by the evil one. Now, what are we believers to do so that we will not be misled by this evil one? My dear friends, take heed to God's word. I give you another warning, my dear friends, to those who are thinking of having a girl-boy relationship with an unbeliever. My dear friends, that clearly is an unequal yoke relationship. The Lord warns us against it. Of course, when you are courting, everything looks very, very good. Everything looks very, very smooth. Yes, both parties are very willing to accommodate. The unbeliever is very accommodate. He appears to be very, very loving. He appears to be very, very caring. He appears to be very, very sacrificial. He's willing to do anything, so it seems. But when the two parties get into the marriage relationship, then they discover that it is really a very, very terrible mistake. Yes, simply because the believer disobeyed God's word, listened to wrong guidance even by the evil one, and then enters into that kind of relationship. Now, I've seen this kind of relationship, my dear friends. It is terrible. Both parties, my dear friends, would be experiencing hell on this earth. I've seen that happening, my dear friends. So if you ever think of getting into it, remember this, all that glitters is not gold. All right, Satan is very, very enticing. He says, it's all right, it's good, this relationship is going to work. Friends, it's not going to work. Understand this truth. Now, what are we believers to do so that we will not be misled by this evil guy? What are we to do? I'd like us to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. What are we believers to do so that we will not be misguided by this evil guide? 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 6. Yes, this is the exhortation given by God's word. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. My dear friends, often it is a big I in us that gets into trouble. It is pride that gets us into trouble. We think we know best. In the business venture with an unbeliever, we say, I know best. I'm able to size up people very well. I'm able to size up this unbelieving business partner very well. I think he's a very trustworthy guy. I think he's going to be all right. And so forth, my dear friends. Yes, but let's recognize that we are not that smart. Without the Lord, we are nothing and can do nothing. God is never wrong. Let us, my dear friends, humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God for him to lead us and to guide us. Yes, let us not think that we are that smart, but be willing to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God for him to guide us and to lead us so that we will not be misguided. And verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let's cast all our cares on him. He knows best. He knows what is best for us. All our cares, cast them upon the Lord. Let him make the decision, my dear friends. He knows what is best for us. And then verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And the writer of the book of James says the same thing. James says this, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves therefore to God. My dear friends, you can't resist the devil and then have the devil flee from you. Except that you be willing to submit yourselves to God. Except that we are willing to allow ourselves to be controlled by the one true living God. Now, Martin Luther, the great reformer, was very often graphic in the way he described the activities of the devil. And this was what he said in regards to how he overcame the evil one, how he resisted the evil one. He said this, well, when the devil comes knocking upon the door of my heart and asks, who lives here? What I will do is, I will ask the Lord to answer the door. And the Lord invariably will say this to the evil one. Martin Luther used to live here, but now no longer. It is I who am living here, not Martin Luther. And Satan, upon hearing that, will have no choice but to flee. Friends, that's the way we should be resisting the evil one. We should subject ourselves under the mighty hand of God, submit ourselves to him, and ask the Lord to resist the evil one on our behalf. We must do that, friends. Now, the third guide. First guide of the for those who are the walking dead is the world. The second guide is the devil. What is the third guide of the of those who are the walking dead? The third guide is the flesh. Now, what is the flesh? The flesh is the sinful nature, the nature we inherited from our first father, Adam. Now, often we talk about the lust of the flesh. Now, what is lust? Now, lust is actually a very, very powerful desire. Now, if you are thirsty and you are dying of thirst, the last thing that you would want to have is salt. Isn't it true? And the last thing you want is salt, you're dying of thirst. But lust is the craving for salt of a man who's dying of thirst. That's what lust is. Yes, it's the craving of a man who's dying of thirst. And lusts are foolish, lusts are hurtful. 1 Timothy 6:9 says, but they that will be rich, those who want to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare, and unto many foolish and hurtful lusts. They want to be rich, yes, they fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Surely, we have heard of those who lusted after money, those who lusted after wealth, and who ended up hurting themselves. They lied, they cheated, they stole, And then finally, the long arm of the law caught up with them, and then they were put behind bars. Yes, and who suffered? Of course, not only he suffers, his family would suffer also. Yes. And those who engage themselves in illicit sexual activities sometimes can get caught, and many people get caught. Yes, and they get caught, they contract this sexually transmitted diseases, and they bring problems upon themselves, bring troubles to their families also. So lies are foolish and lies are hurtful. Friends, let's watch it. If you are guided by the lust of the flesh, the people in the world, the living dead are guided by the flesh. But if we believers, if we claim ourselves to be believers and we are guided by the flesh, we are in serious trouble. We must check to see if we ourselves are not walking according to the course of the world. We need to check. Now, if we are continually yielding to the lust of the flesh, enticed by the lust of the flesh, and we are actually walking according to the course of the world, what it might mean is that, in the first instance, we were never converted. We were never true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why we kept saying yes to the flesh. When the flesh entices us, we say yes and yes and yes. My dear friends, so we need to check ourselves to see whether or not we are not walking on along the walking according to the course of the world. And the course of the world is end of the course of the world is of course eternal damnation. But the question is, how can we overcome the flesh? How can we do that? Now there is only one way. The old man in us must be crucified. The only one way to overcome the flesh, the old man, the sinful self, the flesh in us must be crucified. And he was crucified. The truth is, on the day we came and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the sinful flesh was already crucified. Understand this truth. And every day, excuse me, and every day, like the great Apostle Paul, we must be taking this position. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. My dear friends, every day and every day, we must reckon the old man in us, the sinful flesh in us, to have been crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Dead. And every day, we must reckon that the new man has risen with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been raised up in newness of life. And you know what that means? If we are truly raised in newness of life, then, as true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must be yielding the members of our bodies as instruments of righteousness for the Lord to make use of. We must yield our ears, our eyes, our nose, our tongue, our hands, our feet, every part of our body as instruments of righteousness for the Lord to make use of. That is what we must be doing every day. Now, if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in fact spiritually dead. Physically, you are alive, but spiritually, you are dead. You are living dead. Yes, you are guided by the world, guided by the devil, guided by the flesh. Like it or not, my dear friends, you are guided by these three, the world, the devil, and by your sinful nature. Yes, you may think you are liberated. You say these Christians, believers, they are also narrow-minded. You may think that you are liberated. The truth is, you are not. You are held captive by the world. You are walking according to the course of the world. You are walking according to the drift, the tendencies, the opinions, and the mentality of the world. Yes, you are doing the dictates of the course of the world. And you are actually an enemy of the one true living God. Like it or not, you are a child of the evil one, and your end is eternal destruction. So, my dear friends, I ask you, why do you want to continue to walk along this course? Why do you want to walk according to the course of the world? Why don't you come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today? Turn around, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and receive him as your Lord and Savior today. Now, then, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not to walk according to the course of the world. We are not to conform to it, because we have been transformed by the renewing of our mind, so that we may be able to discern what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And what is the perfect will of God, acceptable will of God? My dear friends, it is not to walk according to the course of the world. We are to not to walk what the world wants us to do. We are to walk according to what God wants us to do. We are to oppose the thinking of the world. We are to oppose the course of the world. My dear friends, we are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's show forth that we are indeed alive in him. Now, if you are a walking dead, you are guided by the devil, you are guided by him to murder and to lie and to cheat. As we said, you do not necessarily have to carry a gun or knife to murder people. You could very well murder people with your tongue. He tempts you, he corrupts you, and he deceives you. My dear friends, turn away from him, but turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to break every fetter of the evil one. And as for us believers, my dear friends, our position must be to resist the evil one. Now, how may we resist him? Friends, for us to resist him, we cannot do so by our own strength. We must submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Allow the Lord to control us, to empower us, so that we may be able to resist him. And if you are a walking dead, you are in fact guided by your flesh, guided by your sinful nature. Until you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, what you do in your life will be very, very much determined by the lust of your flesh. But if you trust in him, as he was crucified, my dear friends, your old man, your sinful self, will have also been crucified with him. And as he rose up from the dead, you would have risen up from the dead with him. The old man in you, with all his lust, has been crucified, but the new man is alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, you should then be walking, not according to the course of the world, but you will be walking along the straight and narrow road prescribed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be living a life that is glorifying to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the choice is yours, to walk according to the course of the world, or to walk the narrow way which the Lord has prescribed for you and for all of us. The choice is yours. Why don't you make the right choice today? Come, trust the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I trust in you. I want to forsake the course of the world. I want to walk this narrow road that you have prescribed. I know it is a hard road, but it is a right road. It's a road of joy, road of peace. It's a road in which I will experience abundant life, and I know that at the end of this road, I'm coming into your arms. I know that this is the heavenly road. I know that the end of this road is heaven. Why don't you choose this road, the straight and narrow road? Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that there was a day in our life we heard your call, and you saved us out of this way, the way that is according to the course of the world. Father, we thank you that you have saved us and you have placed us to walk along this straight and narrow way. Lord, we pray for those who are still outside your kingdom, who are guided by the world, guided by the devil, and are guided by their sinful nature. We pray that you will be very gracious to them, merciful to them. May they hear your call this morning also and come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And for all of us who have already known you, Lord, we may show forth your praises every day as people who are not walking along that, walking according to the course of the world, but we may be able to show to the world that we are in fact true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are alive in him, and that our lives are glorifying him. We pray and ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.